Billy Duffy, lead guitar player with The Cult. You missed your plane by 2 days or something?
Yeah, well, you know, we like to take our days off in, you know, relatively civilized places, so...
So Dallas-Fort Worth is now, we can all rest assured.
Sure, as far as The Cult are concerned, a fairly cool place to hang out.
Fairly cool place to hang out. Speaking of cool, it was hotter than blazes the last time you and I got a chance to talk on the radio, a couple of months ago. Yeah. You were in town with what, on the Billy Idol tour?
Yeah, that was it. I was fried.
A little warm here.
Kind of, yeah.
In the peak part of the summer of Texas.
I'm used to it now. But then...
Now it's going to change on you.
You know? Yeah, that was weird that day.
But that gig went well. And then, of course, you let us in on a little secret when you were there a couple of months ago. You said that it looked like you'd be able to return to Texas.
Oh, yeah, we no lie. We no lie.
We no lie.
We no lie. We you know, we laid it on you.
Is Texas one of the hottest spots in America for The Cult right now?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
Oh, come on.
I don't know.
You sit around and you talk over your pints of Guinness with with Ian late at night about why there's got to be a reason why you wanted to come back to Texas. It's got to be that popular. What do you think it is?
You must have a theory. Well,
I don't know. You know, people like yourself play on the radio here, which is always very exciting.
Does that help out, really?
It does. Seriously, we can go around America, and it's like any city where people give the Cult airplay. The gigs are a great success. It's always good fun. We sell out the concerts. Cities where we don't get the radio play, it's hard work, and it's really simple as that.
Billy, when the cult was in town earlier this summer, we had a very brief time to try to talk about the only question, really, that I ever hear raised by a longtime cult fans is the difference. Not necessarily bad or good, but just the difference into what they really got attracted to the cult with on the Love CD. Right. And the sound, the rough and ready, rough and tumble sound and production values on the newest one, Electric. And it raised a question mark in a lot of people's minds. Why? And I guess we can try to explain in words, and then maybe we can use an example.
Okay, yeah, well, what happened? I mean, the Love album, for what it was great. I mean, you got to remember, we did that in like 1985 in the summer. And it was on the back, actually the week we went into the studio to record Love, the album, She Sells Sanctuary had just gone in the British charts in the top 20 and was a hit. Mm. So we were no longer like an independent alternative band. We were suddenly competing against the top 20 chart acts. Therefore, the basic brief of everybody involved with the band was, well, whatever you're doing, keep doing it and just go in and make an album worth of it. And we went in there and had a lot of fun. We didn't really think, do we want to ultimately sound like this? It was just every single track. We just like let our imaginations go wild and put loads of stuff in it.
It was very consistent from song to song on the Love album, and it definitely did have a style and a sound.
Yeah, it was different. It was also, I mean, on a technical note, another technical note, how boring. The two albums were recorded completely differently. Like, Love was recorded very high-tech, in a very, very state-of-the-art studio in terms of computerized mixing. It was actually recorded digitally, which only, you know, a lot of albums nowadays are getting done that way, but this was 2 years ago.
Right.
There was, like, only two studios in Britain that could do it in 1985. And it was kind of, it was good for then. It suited the material. The material was a little poppier than the Electric album.
Right.
I mean, and you can't, if you apply the same production values to different kinds of music, it doesn't always work.
Well, let's take that, for example. Okay.
Living out forbidden dreams.
lot of kids ask us when we meet them after concerts or whatever about, you know, like, why and that. I still don't really know why. I think I can't answer that. Do you know what I mean? It's just the Electric Album was something we had to do, I think, in for a lot of different reasons in terms of
our state of mind. You mentioned a couple while we were listening to it. Well, give a couple of those reasons, because they're good reasons.
Well, you know, a lot of the time, see, with the background of the band, we were all in these so-called positive punk bands. I use that term very loosely.
Positive punk.
Positive punk was a little scene going on, and it was like in England back in the old days. And we were, the playing aspect, how well you could play your instrument, wasn't really paramount. It was a lot more important your attitude to music and the world in general and your haircut. And a lot of things were important. And it was kind of like, we finally realized that, you know, we were more into actually
playing. Excuse me for interrupting, but I get the feeling that you didn't buy all that.
Well, he never sat really. I mean, that's one of the reasons why the cult got together in the first place, was because me and Ian were both in relatively successful groups in Great Britain who probably could have done quite well, like the Southern Death Cult and Theatre of Hate. And we just didn't feel totally committed to the music at either of those bands. And we ended up getting together. One side it was out of friendship, but on the other side it was because, like, he was the only singer that I'd seen in recent times that actually could, like, be a rock singer. You know, there wasn't many. There aren't many in Britain that are nowadays of our age that are, like, real rock singers. And I think Fee said something to me about, you know, I was about the only guy that could ever, like, started playing with feedback and rock guitar, you know, which is something I learnt when I was a lot younger, you know. So, the roots of the rock thing go right back to the reason why we got together. It just took an album and a half to finally get writing together and realising the best way we could project what we do.
Boy said you were a youth quaker, Edie, a stormy little world shaker. Oh, I was darling queen, Edie, an angel with a broken wing. The dogs lay at your feet. Sweet child, the dogs lay at your feet.
tell me and everybody else, what's a remix? What do you do to the song and how do you do it?
With us, I mean, when we remix something, normally we do it for within ear to nightclubs. You just extend it in little bits that of the song that you find exciting. You just make it more exciting. It was mostly done for Great Britain, where formats of records go out a lot differently than in America. You kind of need sort of different free tracks and things. It's just a different system than in the States. And we did it primarily for that, but it's proved very successful here, which is a surprise. It really was a quick idea. I popped in the studio in New York one day. It took like half a day. I just went in and played as many different types of guitar to the same basic tune as I could.
We're getting a lot of calls for this, and can folks get what we're about to play, this extended mix?
Yeah,
can you get that now?
Yeah, it's released, yeah, because the Sire over here really liked it, and they've put it out. It's available on a 12-inch, so you can pop down your local store.
Get the 12-inch
single. Hand
over
your greenbacks, and there you go.
We have a rare opportunity here to hear the same cult song done two entirely different ways.
Yeah,
that's right. Maybe this will help kind of point out how a producer and also the arrangement and how it's recorded can really give a song a whole different flavor, right? Now, what we're trying to do here with Billy Duffy, lead guitarist with a cult, is show how you can take the same song and kind of turn it inside out and sounds quite a bit different. We'll be right back. you mentioned to me that you thought maybe the next time out you'd do what? Stylistically.
Well, the plan, I mean, it's like, we're like, must be the dumbest group in the world to record an album twice completely. So I'm not a no great one to talk. However, in...
You did what now?
Well, the Electric album was recorded twice.
Totally done. In the can.
Recorded and mixed in England with the same producer who did Love. We recorded the whole thing, had it sitting there, and after a couple of weeks, we all decided we didn't like it.
Wow.
And we canned it, basically, and did the thing with Rick Rubin, which was, that partially probably explains, we were in such a state. We'd made this album and spent all that money, and we just really knew it wasn't the album we needed to put out.
So some of the ferocity that we feel in the Electric album when we listen to it, some of that ferocity, yeah, is some, for real.
Yeah, some of that frustration and stuff came out because we were like working really hard to do the Electric album. It was always going to be a rock album. All the tracks are pretty much the same. It's just for many reasons we just didn't come up with the goods as far as we were concerned. And a lot of that pent-up frustration probably came out on the version that finally got released. So, but then having said all that, I mean, this is like a guy who's like, you know, blown, I don't know, $500,000 or something on recording costs,
oh,
you know what
man.
I mean? It's like, whatever, I don't know. I didn't even ask anybody to tell me.
Ooh.
But in the future, I hope, with the next album, we might be able to combine a little bit of what we had, which is like that first version of Electric Ocean, a slightly moodier feel with the economy and the power that we've learnt with a new thing, you know, because we're still learning. We're not, you know, we don't think we know it all.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, even a bit of slide guitar there at the end.
Yeah,
which is a first for me.
Really?
Yeah, I've never played. I've tried to. I can't play. I need slide guitar lessons. I'm gonna have to go and get some off somebody.
Now I don't play a note of any guitar, but some of the most accomplished guitar players in the world don't play slide. And can you? You say you got to go take slide. Can you play? Can you teach that or? Don't you just have to have an ear and a feel for that?
There's a bit of a science to it,
really?
to play proper slide guitar, as far as I can fathom out. Different things, certain kind of guitars suit it better. The action on the guitar has to be higher, to all those guitar players out there who know what I'm talking about. To those of you that don't, bad luck. You know, there's different things. You don't actually play, there's certain things you don't actually play the note where you would normally play it with your finger.
You
move
it
and you do different things. It's kind of a bit of a science. You also have to have a good delay on it. That's the secret of you too.
Oh, really?
The Edge, yeah. The Edge is the way he plays slide guitars because he uses a good delay.
Uh-huh.
Makes it sound better.
All right. Well, listen, I got Joe Walsh's number. I'll give it to you.
Yeah, I know. I really got to hook up with some guitar player who knows what the slide game is.
He's got that down. Sweet.